Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, your host, and it's really lovely to be with you today. It's a beautiful spring day, lovely and warm, and you can probably maybe hear a lawnmower going in the background, and I apologise for that. That's what you get when you get lovely warm days. I think maybe that person... So I'm recording this on Friday, the 23rd of September, the day after the day of mourning, National Day of Mourning, and so maybe the person mowing the lawn took an extra day off and... is deeply, deeply in mourning for the Queen. Anyway, we're not going there. This is not a political broadcast. but I want to say welcome. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for pressing play. I think last time I mentioned that I was going to be talking at the Bishop's Training event here in Tasmania and leading a workshop. And I talked to Scotty about it. And I have done one workshop in Hobart already last Saturday, and I'm doing another one in Launceston tomorrow. So after I finish recording this, I am ducking down to visit my mum and dad like I do on Fridays. And then I'm going to pack up and drive up to Launceston. And then we will spend tomorrow at the Bishop's Training event. And I thought I should let you know, just to make sure that there's no misunderstanding here. This is not an event for training bishops. I think we have a couple of bishops here in Tasmania, one main one and a couple of other ones. And yes, and the main bishop, the Bishop of Tasmania, Richard Condy, came up with this idea of a training event. And that's why it's called the Bishop's Training Event, because the bishop came up with the idea. So we're not training bishops, and we don't all become bishops if we attend the day. No bishops are made by this training event. It is just a training event thought up by the bishop for the Anglicans in Tasmania, and not just Anglicans either. I noticed there were Christians from other denominations there on Saturday in Hobart, which was really, really cool. So it was a really great day on Saturday. I always love it. It was fantastic. The MCs were fun and joyful. The talks were deeply thought-provoking and excellent, and hopefully mine was too. No, we had a great time. So do all that again tomorrow. And since that, I have also been given the opportunity to give workshops at the Pilgrims Artist Festival, which is in Huonville in Tasmania. So that's exciting too. I'm giving one on writing short stories and one on podcasting, because I have been doing this podcast since 2018 and I'm still here. I'm still doing it. So thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, because it makes my time worthwhile and I really appreciate it. All right, down to business. We talked with Scotty this time about making a time budget and living by a time budget. So in this interview, Scotty and I talk about time budgets in generalities, and then afterwards I'm going to come down to some quite specific ways to do this type of thinking about how you spend your time and planning for how you spend your time. When I was preparing for the Bishop's Training event, I realised that I hadn't done a podcast that was properly on time budget yet, and so I thought you might like to know about it. So anyway, let's have a chat to Scotty. You'll hear that he's come up with a name that he thinks is appropriate for our chats together each fortnight, so you can make up your own mind about that. And yeah, and we'll have a chat to him, and then I'll talk to you again after.
Good morning, this is Ultra 65. Ruth Amos is with us, and we've come up with a name for our segment, Ruth.
We have.
I'm like, we need a name. And I said, when I think of what we'd talk about, I said, I just kind of think life hacks. And so we've called it Life Hacks with Ruth Amos.
Let's do that. That
That's
sounds
easy.
Good. Perfect.
That's so good. So what is our life hack today?
It's only taken us, what, 2 years, Scotty? That's me in names, by the way. Like all my novels, the names are just like so hard. Like,
I mean, you even only just gave your son a name last year. Like it was, you know, he's just been like, you know.
Yeah.
Youngest son.
Young one,
you know, like
the runt of the litter.
Like, we should call him Caleb.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
a
then,
nice name.
And then Scotty said, I've already taken that one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So
okay.
We're talking about
a time budget. Because you know, like when people ask you to do stuff and you think yes, because it's easier than saying no.
Yeah.
A time budget is one of those things that helps you to actually to have limits around your time so that you can look at it and say, I don't have time for that. No. So we need to have that sort of idea, that time budget idea in our head.
Yeah. And you always feel, I always feel when somebody asks me that I have to have an excuse. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't because I've got this on or I'm doing that. And if I don't have an excuse, I'm like, well, I should really say yes then,
you know. That's right, exactly.
And even though I'm kind of going, I don't really want to do that, you know. And so my inside brain's going, no, no. Like, but then I'm kind of like, okay.
Yeah. And you can sit there, you're resenting them because you don't really feel like you have time, but you're not really sure why you don't feel like you have time. And so you're just sitting there going, oh, I wish I didn't have to do this, but I've said yes now, so I guess I must. Yeah.
So it's almost like giving yourself an excuse. You're saying, well, I'm actually really time poor in some ways. I don't want to add to that time, you know, with something else.
Well, if you think about one of the things you do with a money budget is you decide, well, I don't know, I decide how much money I'm going to give away every time period. And with time budget, you can do the same thing. I'm going to decide I'm going to give away X number of hours every week. And so if you've given away that time, if that's been given to church activities or seeing people or doing whatever, then I'm sorry, I've reached the limit. I can't give away any more time. And you've got that limit set there in front of you. So my limit at the moment, I think, is 2 coffees with people a week. I like coffees with people. But once I've reached my 2 coffees with people, then I have to bump them on to the next week or possibly the next week. But because I've done that thinking beforehand, when they say, oh, can we meet up for coffee? As much as I'd like to say, yeah, it's like, yeah, we can, but it's going to be...
It's going to be 3 weeks' time.
Yeah. Which sounds horrible, but I'm afraid my time is limited. I have a business I need to run. I have things I need to do, and I need to take time to rest. And if I'm not doing all, you know, if I'm filling all those things with other people's needs or wants or whatever, then I'm going to be a mess.
Yeah. See, I like that because people, like, I actually use that when it comes to money. So just say a charity comes and says, hey, we've got this thing on at the moment. Could you support this? I'll actually say, oh, look, we actually support different charities, and that's where our budget goes to. So unfortunately, no, I can't support that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, well, our money's taken up there. No, I'm sorry, we can't. And I think that's such a good way of looking at it because I feel guilty when I say no. I've got a friend who just says, no, sorry. And I'm like, and I'm kind of waiting for the reason why, and she just doesn't give it. She doesn't feel... And at first, I was almost offended by that, you know, like, I'm like, well, that was rude, you know, like, but then I'm kind of like, I actually kind of respect that. She doesn't feel she has to say, oh, look, no, I can't because I'm busy that day, you know, or whatever, you know, but it's just like, no, I'm sorry, no, that's not going to work for me.
And, you know, often if you give an excuse, people find a workaround for the excuse and then you're stuffed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's better to just say no and to respect each other when we do say no. If someone says no to you, as you say, just respect them. Say, okay, well, they've thought that through. I'm going to respect that. It's a mutual respect thing and it's a good thing.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. So good. And by the way, before I let you go, you're doing some workshops.
I am. So the Anglican Church has this big deal called the Bishop's Training Event, which is fun. All of our friends and family from the Anglican Church get together and do training, and I'm leading a workshop here in Hobart and one in Launceston. So I'm excited about that. I'm very excited about that. If you want me to come and do a workshop, I am very excited about that.
So what would the workshop, I mean, like, are we talking about writing or what are we talking about?
Oh, no, this is about the life hack stuff.
Oh, is it
so
really?
I am talking about a time budget. I'm talking about taking a day off every week. I'm talking about, what else am I talking about, Scotty? What signs of overwork are, like how you know that you're doing too much in your life and all that kind of stuff.
It's really good. All right. So if somebody would like to contact you, how do they do that?
They can write to me at ruth@ruthamos.com.au.
Yeah. ruth@ruthamos.com.au or check out the website ruthamos.com.au.
Yeah.
Thanks,
fantastic.
Ruth.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Yeah, so if you would like me to come and have a chat to your group or organisation or whatever, I'm very, very happy to do that. I would like to get the word out about rest and time management and that sort of thing. But also if you want me to talk about writing and what's involved with that or anything else that I do, it's pretty much it, isn't it? Writing, editing and rest. Please feel free to contact me, ruth@ruthamos.com.au. All right, let's get back to the time budget. Very, very important. Okay, so if you are making a budget of any kind, the two kinds I can think of are time and money, the thing that you need to do first is to have an accurate
measure of how you're spending the thing. So if you're making a money budget, the first thing that you do is spend a couple of weeks keeping a really accurate record of how you spend your money. And now that we're all cashless and things, that's quite helpful because we can just look at the bank statement, and as long as you can decipher what the fast food places are called, because they don't often go by their name, you can generally see how much money you're spending on every category. And if you keep a record of that, you might get a shock, or it might be quite fine, but that's, you need to do that first. You need to say, this is how I'm spending my money. Okay, so with time, you need to do the same thing. And the thing is, when we're keeping a record of time, we're not very good at it. We tend to either overestimate or underestimate how much time we spend on something, especially if you're looking back, you know, a day or a week later. How much time did I spend, I don't know, playing Candy Crush on my phone? Well, it's very easy to say, well, it was only 5 minutes, when it was actually 15 or 20 minutes or whatever. So we're not good at that. I remember my mum, I love mum, she would, when I was a kid, we'd all be in the car ready to head off to church, and she would be, she'd say, just a tick. And then she'd be outside hanging clothes on the line. Now, I understand why she did that, especially as soon as I became a mum, I understood why she did that. Needed to be done. But the thing is, it doesn't take just a tick to hang clothes on the line. It can take up to 10 minutes. And that's time spent. And so what we really should have done is all piled out of the car and helped her with it so that we could have got it done faster. But this is the thing. We tend to underestimate, I think, how much time things take. So sitting down and making an accurate record of your time is step one in making a time budget. Now, you may not have the tools to do that. There are several different ways to do that. You can use apps on your phone, and I use Toggle Tracker on my phone. I think I use the free version to keep track of what I'm doing with my time. I do that now because I work from home and work for myself, so it's always a good idea for me to keep track of how much time I'm spending on different parts of my work life, just to make sure things are in balance and they haven't gotten out of whack without me noticing, which is very easy for it to happen. But so you can use an app on your phone, but also if you sign up to my newsletter at ruthamos.com.au, then I will send you out a chart, and on that chart is the days of the week and all of the time that you have in a week. So I don't know if you know, but there are 168 hours in the week, and I have put them all into a nice little spreadsheet and divided them up into half hour segments, so whatever 2 times 168 is. And so you can just, you know, print that out and fold it up and put it in your pocket at every half hour or so. And it doesn't need to really be more granular than that, but every half hour or so, just fill in what you've done in that half hour as you go. So that's the important thing, because the longer time that you leave before you fill it in, the less accurate the picture is going to be. And we want a really accurate picture. I want you to know exactly how you are spending your time now, so that you have the data to make good decisions about what you want to spend your time. So as I said, if you sign up to ruthamos.com.au and get my newsletter, which is just very short newsletter that drops into your email inbox every fortnight and gives you the links to the blog and podcast and a little bit of newsy news about me, then you'll get yourself a chart to fill in to make an accurate record of your time. When you do that accurate record, you may look at it and think, well, but this was a one-off week. This week was just out of the box. I tell you what, I haven't had a week like this for so long. This is not a normal week. And that's fine. That may well be true. It may not be true, though. And you might find that these one-off weeks happen 2 weeks out of every three. So if you're thinking this is a one-off week, then I suggest that you make a time record of the next week and the next, until you really get an accurate picture of how your time is being spent. This is a really good tool to use, and it's worth the effort to do. Okay, so that's your accurate record. And then once you know how you're spending your time, you can sort of think about allocating it into different categories. And as I said to Scotty, one of the first categories that you come up with is, how much time are you prepared to give to other people's activities? So the amount of time you spend at work is going to limit how much time you can give away, just like the amount of money that you put in your budget, in your mortgage, when you're doing a money budget, limits the amount of money that you can do other things with, all right? So you have big calls on your time, work, family, those sort of
massive time chunks, important things, but they are important to know how much time you're spending doing those things and traveling to and from work and whatever, because that tells you how much time you can give away to other people's activities. And then you can just decide, okay, I'm going to do 2 activities a week, or I'm going to go out only 3 nights every week. In fact, the person who I got this idea from, who is Sandra Felton, the Messy's Manual person, she says only limit your time out to 4 nights a week, but 4 nights a week is too much for me. I need to limit it to 3 nights a week. And once you fill in your family dinners and whatever, you can see that it starts to really limit your time. But if you don't do that, then you suddenly find you're going out every night. And that's not good for us because we need more rest for that. So you allocate how much time you're going to give to certain people, like I said to Scotty with my coffees. And then once you've done that, sorry, need to bump you over into the next week. Okay, so we've talked about how much time to give away. Now let's think about saving time. Now, if I'm looking at a budget and saving money, you know, the advice is always, I want to give away 10%, save 10%, and then the rest is used for whatever, and you live within your means. That's the way it works with saving money. How about saving time? Wouldn't it be lovely if I could just take 3 hours from this week when things are slow and bump it into next week when things are busy and use it there? Well, it doesn't quite work that way, but it sort of does. And the way that you save time is by putting aside time to rest. Time when you have nothing booked, time when you're on a retreat or away for a week, or going for a bushwalk on a weekend, or just chilling out, reading, yeah, riding your bike, that sort of thing. So, and I mean, just enjoying the riding, not full on pumped on exercise, although that's good as well. But anyway, so you can't always have this time to rest because sometimes life gets in the way and our seasons of life are different and whatever, but it's actually really, really important to prioritize this. It's interesting that Bill Gates has his Think Weeks every year where he goes to his nice private island that you can only get to by seaplane, and he takes a whole pile of books and he just sits and reads all week. And I'll tell you what, it sounds blissful. But anyway, something similar for each of us is important. But one of those Think Weeks, he came up with the whole understanding of how important the internet was going to be, which changed everything for him. So it's during these times of rest that our brains start to put things together and we can come up with creative solutions to the problems that we have or creative ideas for the future. And you may not come up with a creative idea when you're away on the holiday, but what happens is that later on you get the idea and you can usually trace it back to what happens on holidays. And if you want to know more about that, there's this book called Rest, and I'm going to have to put in the show notes who that's by so that you can read up on it, because he's brilliant. Anyway, so having nothing booked into your calendar is important, and setting aside that time and keeping that appointment with yourself and valuing yourself highly enough to allow yourself to rest is what we're made to do. And I've talked before about having one day off a week and how important that is and how we're made really to work that way. And yeah, that's what I need to say. So we've talked about giving away time or allocating time to give away to other people's activities and allocating time to rest, because that's our saving time process. And then the last thing is, when you think about money management, you think about, okay, we give away 10%, we save 10%, and then we live within our means with the other 80% of the money. That's the important part. And so just as good money management means living within your means, good time management also means living within your means. And the way I think about this is by putting margin or space around your appointments. So this comes from Richard Swenson. He wrote a book called Margin. When you have an appointment, it can be quite easy to butt appointments up next to each other. So running from one meeting to another, or thinking I'll just slip in X activity in between 2 appointments. And look, the most stressful day I have had in the recent past, I did this. So I'm preaching to myself now, but I was preparing for the Bishop's Training event and I needed to print out some worksheets. And I thought, this will be easy. I have an appointment in town. I will just drop in to the printing place, print out the worksheets, and then go to my appointment, or I'll drop them in for printing and then I'll pick them up after my appointment. It all sounds really, really sensible, but I really didn't think about how much time it takes to drive into town, how much time it takes to park, how much time it takes to wait in line at the printing place and talk to the person and all those kind of things. So it turned out that that whole day, and I did this twice in the same day for two different appointments in town and whatever, I was trying to make good use of the time, but I turned out I was rushing from one thing to the next. I was late for every appointment that day. I say, I am definitely not perfect in this area. And I was stressed. I was stressed to the hilt that whole day. And this is not the way we're meant to be. And I don't want to ever do that again. So I needed to remind myself and thinking, oh, it's a good thing I'm talking my podcast about having a time budget and putting margin around appointments, because that's what we need to do. It would just been far better if I had put off that printing until another day and given myself time to really think it through and quietly work through the whole process instead of rushing from one appointment to the next appointment. Driving from place to place takes time. Even packing up from a meeting in one room to move to another room takes time. And so having a little bit of space left around your appointments is just wonderful. And you don't have to pack every space of your life filled with things. You can stop and read a book. It's very easy to carry an ebook in your bag and have something there always to read if you happen to have 10 minutes spare. Or you can pray. Or you can just stare out the window and think. You know, creative boredom is something that we don't experience very much these days. And it's a good thing to have. It's a good way to have our brain working well. So, yeah, I encourage you that once you have put aside the time that you're going to give to other people and put aside the time that you're going to rest, that in your remaining time that you don't pack it full with stuff, but that you leave space between different appointments and between different activities so that you can just move peacefully from one to the next. All right, so you're looking at the list of things you have to do and you're looking at your time budget and you're thinking, how am I going to fit all my stuff into that amount of time? Well, maybe there are things that you just don't do, things that you need to cut out of your life, which sounds drastic, but possibly true. And these things might be, yeah, appointments with people or things that you're doing with others. It might be the fact that you feel the need to wash the grouting in your bathroom with a toothbrush every time you clean your house. You know, maybe you can cut that out or cut back on that to save yourself some time. So you may have to make compromises, but there may be things that you look at, especially when you look at your record of how you spend your time and go, no, that time that's spent on that and the return from that is not enough. I'm going to cut that out. So maybe you can do that. Also, you could double up on something. So one of the things that Moz and I used to do is walk and talk in the evening. So we got our catch-up talking time and we got our exercise at the same time. It was absolutely brilliant. So maybe you can combine your exercise with a chat with a friend and go for a walk and talk. Or maybe there are other things that you can double up on so that you save time. Maybe you can limit something. So maybe you need to put limits on your screen time, for example, so that you have time to do other things. And maybe you need to allocate more time to your family or more time to exercise and make them a priority in your time budget. Just things to think about. So I hope this is helpful to you. I hope that you can see the value of knowing how you spend your time and of making data-informed decisions. Yes, I am a scientist, but I think this is sensible to actually know where your time goes and then make informed decisions about how you're going to spend your time in the future or what you're going to do. And no, it won't be perfect. You know, no, like I said, my last Monday was a shocker of a day, absolute shocker of a day. But as a more general thing, you can have a more restful life with space around things and time to rest and rejuvenate and time to do those important things in your life that you know you've now given time to. So I hope that that helps you, and
As always, I would love to hear whether you've had a think about this in the past or tried it or what's gone well and what's gone badly. And I'd love to hear what you think about it all. So please write to me, ruth@ruthamos.com.au, or you can find me on Twitter at A Quiet Life Blog or on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author. And as I said at the beginning, if you want me to come and give a talk to your group in Tasmania or on Zoom anywhere in the world, please let me know. I'd love to do that. And I will chat to you again soon.